alternative. You're listening to Indie 101.5 CIOI.
Steel City Music.
What an ending to that song, eh? Hey, it's Gunnar here, Steel City Music. Thanks for tuning in, wherever you're tuning in, whether it be on Indie 101.5 up at Mohawk College or over at 93.3 CFMU. How about that? You dig that? I'm all hyped up on coffee and getting lip from my wife right now. I've been desperately trying to get this radio show done, and it's not her fault, right? Because I've been doing some different stuff over the last little while. Well, you know, like responsibilities, other stuff that you do in your day. And it's a, you know, pre-recorded show, so it's a Saturday, and I got all this other stuff to do. And, you know, every time I'm about to put some music in and do a little yammer yammer, I get, come upstairs and help me change the sheets on the bed. And I'm like, oh. Like I'm like a deflated 11-year-old who doesn't get to play video games. Like, oh, don't you understand? This is my only way of connecting with the world. All right, Steel City Music is the name of the show. And you just heard a twerp out of Toronto called Bright Blue Sky. You can find them on Bandcamp. That's where I found them. The album, New and Improved, the track was called Bright Blue Sky. Hey, Steel City Music, give us a follow on SCM Gram and tag us in all your events. I'll put it out on my socials and I'll talk about it on my radio show, that sort of thing. So wherever you are from, and you know, do the whole music thing. Send me some music, that sort of stuff, and I'll check it out and I'll spin it and I'll let people know what you were doing. And of course, we're still on Facebook. We have a Facebook page and also Steel City Music group, which has been growing. I think it's like at 548, maybe? I don't know, something like that. I just checked the other day. More people are joining up and participating and telling us what's going on in their world, people. And we're also on the Twitter. You on the Twitter? You still on Twitter? Steel City Music on Twitter. Give us a follow. That sort of thing. SCM Graham on Instagram. We're on the Twitter. We're on the Facebook. We're not. I joined up the TikTok too, by the way. And I haven't posted anything on there yet. I'm just, you know. I just don't feel that I should be, you know, running around hurting myself on TikTok for likes. Those my jackass days are over. There you go. Okay, so in this hour of the old radio show, we had a chance to chat with Jordan Sphere from Burn the Loof. Got a new track out, so we played catch up with him. Find out what's going on with his band. He's like, apparently he's a duo now, and he's recording some more. He's just releasing a single, so we'll spin that for you, and we'll also air that little pre-recording thing we did via Zoom. And he does look like Charles Manson, by the way. It's kind of freaky, kind of bushy, you know. But after 2 years of not shaving and getting a haircut, hey, he's a mountain man. Okay, so here we go. In this set of music, you're going to hear you're going to hear Destroyer with the track Crimson Tide out of Montreal, I believe. Ghostly Kisses with the track Heartbeat. Really cool track. Hip-hop conscious kind of song called Curious Rodada with the song Crosstown. All right, now here's the one that is going to be the most fun for me, I think. Is a track called Gimme That from OK. Or is it Oak? I think it's OK. Just spelled differently. Also Pup with the song Robert Writes a Love Song in that set of music. Pretty cool. And this band out of Toronto that describes themselves as goths from a mall. I thought that was kind of interesting way of describing your music, but because, you know, it didn't sound like goth music to me. It has some nice dreamy parts to it, some pop elements to it. And I went on to go to their Facebook page and Bandcamp. And it was I took it from the album Year the Snake, and they're doing some shows over in Europe. They'll be doing a bunch of shows over in Manchester in May, and also Bristol as well, Southampton. But they're a Toronto band, and oh, that's right. I'm sorry, Music for Mall Goths. That's how they describe themselves, and they're called Soft Cult. And it's addictive for me. I've been often listening to them off and on, going, I get it. This is, you know, this is really good stuff, right? For some strange reason, in my mind, I would like to see a show with them and Austra out of Toronto as well, just because of the synth. If you're familiar with Austra, just some of the synth and dark elements that that they've used over the years, that sort of thing. So And I don't know, just maybe because I'm kind of a bit of a fanboy for Oster as well. So yeah, that's what we're going to put in this set of music. You're going to get different elements of dream pop, hip hop, new wavy, kind of 80s thing out of Destroyer out of Montreal. So, and also pop as well, with that track, Robert Writes a Love Song. So that's what I've been listening to the last couple days, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to share this with everyone. So why don't we do that? Get all that music together as I'm dropping everything in multi-track, as I'm talking, lining things up for you, and enjoying my morning without waiting for that next disturbance on the office door. Started things off, soft cult Gaslight on Steel City Music.
It's all my fault.
Slow decline. that. Gimme that. Go on, get it, get some. Get it like that. Gimme that, gimme that. 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 Go on, get it, get some. Get it like that. Gimme that. Gimme that.
City resident, Orange be the president. Sleepy like the others, still garbage in the tenements. Saw the hoax, spit it, it's a carnage in the sentiment. When all at once released, it's a barrage on the sediment. Filthy concrete that exudes an intelligence. Not really school related, it's hip hop and the elements. It's a degree, and you earn it in 3D. Hits hard like a smack to your jaw, VD. Could even hurt their pride like they snitching in PC. So far distant, out of this world like E.T. Like going from a halfway house to a clinic. It's the type of methadone to help your mom spit the lyrics. Only 21, boy, like a gram of the raw in 93. And you can hit it all through a straw. Find the key if you accountable, then I fuck with you. But if everything's always my fault, I can't fuck with you. Out of spot, feel whack vibes and murk off. Get home, could either write mad rhymes or jerk off. First off, they rhymes is trash, monkey ass, dirt sore. Wifey pissed off nightly, like where's my work call? See, I'm on my job fully, I don't wanna wake the kids. It don't matter, just put all the food in the fridge with the right lids. No complacency or hesitating. In terms of time, it's been enough, these people been waiting. Give it to them, roar out the basement. There you go, roar out the basement. Got it.
Good.
Trying to keep my shit on topic. Curiosity, drop it. Hey, how do I see it, mano? Money in your pocket. Turbulence cheer when the pilot landed. Left-handed with the mic, he's held to a high standard. Fly the planet, off stage, mild-mannered. On stage with the mic, he let it off, quite candid. Granted, provide a fire hotter than blue flame. Even designing Welcome Back Carter a new name. Washington Epstein, Barbarino Horse Shack. Haters is whack, yeah, horseback on the ball sack. They eating pancakes, no syrup, a tall stack. Dry mouth, clothing line for the fall jack. Adapt to any given situation. It seems really his only kryptonite is litigation. Imitation, court systems and judges seem to abuse more victims and hold grudges. Try not to think about it too much, but what it does is remind us repeatedly, with no money, no one loves us. Oh, what a pity, poor baby. But it's real New York City going crazy. Wavy old hair with some young hitters. It's just that sometimes trap music doesn't fit us. Never blame an artist, blame the radio. Can't blame a freak, blame Captain Save-A-Ho.
Forever and a
Faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova in the sky. Someday. A champagne supernova in the sky.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
I was like the laziest river, a vulture predisposed to eating off floors. No, wait, I take that back. I was more like an ocean stuck inside hospital corridors. My condition in general, despite what they say, improves. So I could care less on a night like this. I'm on the lookout for anything that moves, crimson tide. I know when to hold them, and I know when to leave. I know where to go, and I know how to breathe. I know how you blow bubbles. You can look at the world till you don't know what you've done. You can follow a salary to the bottom of the ocean. Is that yours? Throw it in the pot. I thought I was smart, I'm not. I thought I was sick and dying.
Great little track right there from Destroyer, the band out of Montreal, the Crimson Tide. Also in that set, and it was a before I played all those things, it's going to be a different kind of set, different vibes, that kind of thing. And it truly was, I believe. The artist Ghostly Kisses with Heartbeat. Curious and Rodata with the track Crosstown you heard. Okay with Gimme That. Pup with the track Robot Writes a Love Song. And Soft Cult with Gaslight. All Canadian content, just to let you know. And you can find all that stuff on Bandcamp as well. Hey, if you're just tuning in, it's Steel City Music, and I am your host, Gunnar, here. And did a bit of a chat. I did a bit of a chat. I had a bit of a chat the other day with a Jordan Sphere from Burn the Louvre, a band that's been around for a while here in the Hamilton or Southern Ontario market, Hamilton, that sort of thing. And I chatted with him just the other day, and of course it was done over Zoom, and it was I was just like holding in a laugh, because right away he looks at me through the old Zoom, and he's like, "Look at my hair, man. Look at me. I'm a wild man over here. My Nana's gonna kill me because I haven't shaved the beard or trimmed my hair." And he does look I think he looks pretty stellar with the, with his long shaggy wild man hair and beard look, right? Quite the transformation. But eventually he will he's gonna clean it up for his family's sake. But Jordan recorded some new music, and he's gonna be putting it out in the next little while. And they're going to be doing some shows as well, and you'll find out all about that stuff in the chat. So there you go. So Google up Burn the Louvre. You can find them on Facebook and Spotify and Tidal and all the other fun stuff as far as platforms and social media goes. Okay, okay. So here's the chat I had with Burn the Louvre here on Steel City Music. Check it out. Over 2 years ago, I started, was it over 2 years ago? Yeah, no, 3 years ago, I started Steel City Music back up again, and did a year of it in the studio sort of vibe up at then The Hawk, now Indie 101.5 FM. And when we were going into lockdown, I started chatting with my next guest, who has a connection with me from 13 years prior, because his kid brother came in as a co-op student and made me laugh every day, Dylan Spear. But joining me right now is Jordan Spear. How are you, sir?
Not too bad, too bad. How about yourself, Gunner?
I'm good. I'm just sitting here laughing because, full disclosure to everyone, we started up the Zoom chat and I was just rambling and going off about stuff, and so were you. And you're trying to explain your Charles Manson look that you have on Zoom right now.
Oh yeah, no, that's my Nana brings it up every single time I see her. It's just, you need a haircut. And the problem is though, I got the beard and the hair, the beard balances out the hair. So I can't shave the beard until I get a haircut. So I'm kind of stuck with both for the time being. I'm going to do it eventually. I know I need to, but
yeah.
Well, my brother is a bone.
I'm going to tell you, buddy, you're looking pretty rock and roll.
Thank you. Thank you. I kind of dig it. Right. And people, you know, no one's really said anything negative about it, so other than the Charles Manson thing. But I mean, you know, it's
honestly,
not like going around starting cults and murdering people. So.
What a cheery way to start the interview. You got the but you got the Alexis on Fire farewell tour t-shirt on.
This was from their first farewell tour.
Yeah.
I think it was, I can't remember if it was 2009, I think it was, or 2010, yeah, or something like that. When they did the string of, was it three shows in a row at Cops Coliseum, when it still was Cops Coliseum?
Yeah, that was around 2009, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never bought into it.
The thing, yeah, you know what? I don't think any of us did. But we were all just kind of like, oh, cool. Like, they're playing three shows in a row at Cops. This will be nice. And, you know, then yeah, they came back.
Yeah, I've been around long enough. I'm like, you're not breaking up. Oh, you're taking a break, but you're not breaking up, because you don't start a band that long and tour the world and have to sleep in the van on the floor for that length of time and play to seven people and to like sometimes 100 people, but more seven people when you're kids, then just go, ah, that's it, we're done. Like, nah, uh-uh. And they're still playing. They're down in like Brazil. They're doing shows and stuff coming up.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's crazy to me how they've got such a massive worldwide following. Like, people all over the world love them. Like, that's great. Like, I think that's awesome. When you see a band from Canada succeed on that level, I love it.
Yeah, and the proof's in the pudding, because I'm sitting here in a Zoom conversation with Charles Manson wearing an Alexis on Fire farewell tour shirt. It's awesome.
2022, you know?
So I guess this really leads us into, I've been doing a series of chats with everyone over the last couple of years about COVID, how it's affecting that sort of thing. And when you and I chatted, you were just putting out some music. It was more of like a solo thing for you, because you didn't have that whole band thing around you, from what I remember, to be honest. And it was all on you. Like, it was, you know, the writing, the music, the promotion of the band, the marketing of the band, the branding of the band. And then COVID hit. What happened in that 2-year time span for you, aside from the beard and the wild, crazy hair?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I tried out the solo thing because I was kind of forced to kind of try to do stuff by myself. I didn't really want to do that. I missed my brother, you know, like I was just, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't looking forward to going out there on my own. But I tried it out, didn't really like it. You know, 'cause it's just weird when you're playing gigs by yourself, you know, like, and you're hanging out at a table having a beer by yourself, because you don't know the other bands all that well. Like, you know them well enough, but right. You know, I'm not going to go sit and join them at their table or anything and interrupt their good time. And I'm just sitting there at my merch booth with my beer by myself. And after a few of those shows, I'm like, man, this is kind of depressing. You know, like, a few friends would show up and then they'd leave. And then I'm kind of like, all right, well, now what do I do? So I was just kind of like, didn't really like the solo thing. I went back into the studio to start recording this album, because I said, well, okay, you know, we got to figure something out. So I did all the singing on it. My producer helped me with some harmonies and stuff like that. I did the all the acoustic and electric rhythm, some lead stuff. Had my friend Andrew Ballone from Silvertone Hills, who I think you might have talked to Andrew.
Yeah, I've interviewed him a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude, a very talented guy. So he played all the lead guitar and the bass on all 11 of these songs for me. And then I had my friend Stephanie Deshane sing with me on a song called Allison. She kind of sang Allison's parts. It was like a little duet, like a back and forth sort of thing. So she did that. And then I did all the percussion stuff. My producer helped with some of that. And he did some synth things, some really cool synth stuff, kind of simulated some horns on Wish We Were, actually, right, on the outro on this song. And I did some other things. So we were working on the record, so that kept me busy. So that was nice. And then this is just always the way things work out, isn't it? We finish recording everything and we're moving on to the mixing phase. I get an email from Sean, my, you know, a current guitar player, vocalist. And he was answering a Kijiji ad that I forgot to take down. I thought I deleted it, because when I was doing the solo thing, I had a Kijiji ad up, and I was kind of just looking for musicians, seeing if anyone wanted to respond. And I got a lot of responses, and people are really nice and they mean really well, but it always seemed, I'm not even kidding, like I talked to 30 or 40 people, and every time it got down to, hey, let's get together and meet up, maybe grab a coffee or a beer, kind of chat, and then if it goes well, let's get together and jam. Every time it got down to let's actually get together, just crickets. So I kind of got to a point where I'm like, well, to hell of Kijiji, right?
Right.
And I forgot to take the ad down. So Sean ended up responding to it. We got together for that beer, got together to jam. And we've been playing together for the last 2 years now. So obviously haven't really been able to gig much. Like, we played some open mics over the summer. But hoping to get that going this year. But it's been fun jamming with him. It's good to have a partner again.
Does that help you creatively? Like, that to bounce things off of someone, or are you primarily, I got to work this out in my own head sort of thing?
You know what? I'm kind of trying to approach this the same way I did with my brother, whereas he would write his own songs, I would write my own songs, and then we would edit each other's afterwards. I would kind of bring mine to his, he'd bring his to mine. Like, he'd edit my lyrics, I'd edit his lyrics. He would come up with lead parts to my stuff. He would tell me what to play for his.
Sure.
Because yeah. He knew. For Sean and I, it's kind of the same thing, because he's got at least five of his own right now. They're really good. Two of them are finished that we've been working through that we're going to try to release next year, actually. He kind of, you know, brings his songs in, and I just come up with little lead parts to it. I'll give him some suggestions, but nothing, you know, they're just suggestions. Like, I'm just kind of, you know, see what you, if you like it, take it. If you don't, we don't have to do that. Let's try it.
Right.
The great thing about him, he's always willing to try things. Even on my songs too, like when we were working on these 11 songs that are coming out this year, including Wish We Were, while we were, you know, jamming and going through things, he's coming into this. I already had the album basically finished to show him, be like, hey, these are the songs if you want to learn off of these. And Andrew did an awesome job on the record. Like, I love the leads he played, but I love how Sean played. He took complete 180s on what Andrew did. So like live, like his version is much different. His interpretations are much different than, you know, the leads that Andrew played on the record. So I think that's really cool.
Now, twice now you said your producer, but you never named who your producer were.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. Yeah, Mickey Ellsworth recorded, mixed, and mastered the record, all 11 songs. And he works primarily out of B-Town Studios. Okay. B-Town Studios. B-Town Sound in Burlington. Right. But he also has, you know, works out of his home studio as well, right?
So did he do all this out of his home, or did he do it at B-Town?
So we recorded the majority of the album at B-Town, like all the guitars and the drums and everything like that, everything that needed to be there. Not that there's a lot of drums on the album. I kind of did that on purpose, made it more an acoustic-y sort of vibe. We did all the overdubs in his home studio. And obviously, you know, bass, you can just do DI, right? So we did all that kind of stuff at his home studio. But most of it was done at B-Town.
How did you meet up with him?
So we recorded it. We actually finished recording right before COVID hit. Like, we wrapped up, like, the recording aspect of everything right before COVID hit. So it was, and then mixing was kind of just, obviously, you know, most of it he kind of did on his own, sent it to me. I would come in for revision sessions and things like that. And if we had to do any overdubs or, you know, like corrections after. But it kind of worked out pretty well that we had, like, most of it finished, like, right before this happened.
You really lucked out on that, because conversations that I've had where it's been just like, we started, COVID hit. Had half songs here, half written here, had to go to another studio, wait this time. And because of the distancing thing, and a lot of people were sending their ideas over Zoom or phone recordings back and forth. People were telling me in bands of trying to keep that creative aspect. It sounds like you're very lucky that you were able to get everything done in a studio and be able to work that way.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. We were. And then it worked out that, like I said, while we were doing the mixing, whenever I'd come in for revision notes or if we had to do any additional overdubs or things like that, it was just me and Mickey in his home studio. So it was kind of, you know, the social distance, you know what I mean? It was like, it's in his own house. It's not, we weren't breaking any rules. I mean, he lives with his girlfriend, but sometimes she was working, sometimes she wasn't, you know, regardless, right? It was kind of, we were following the rules.
Hey, if you're just tuning in now, you listen to Steel City Music. My special guest right now is Jordan Spear from, did I say Spear? Spear. I was thinking.
Everyone's Spears.
I know. What the hell? This is so weird. From Burn the Louvre. And we're just catching up after 2 years of finding out what's been going on with Burn the Louvre. And how are you going to release this album? Are we going to, a lot of times, there's like 11 songs, I think, on this one. Correct.
There are, yeah.
So it's an LP. Mm-hmm. Some people split into, like, they'll go, okay, for the 6 months, here's this EP. And then the next 6 months, here's that other EP. And it gives them time to market each EP differently. Mm-hmm. And with some, it's the first track and the 11th track, or how many there is, they tell a story. Mm-hmm. Are you going to release everything all at once? Or is it going to be a single a month? Because that's another trend that everyone's been doing, just a single a month and then just pitching that single or that different single to different people.
Absolutely. And that is the way we're going to do
okay,
this.
Yeah.
We are doing a single a month. And the reason I did that is because so the album was ready, end of 2020, it was like finished. So like I was basically sitting on it all throughout 2021, because the way that I looked at it was with planning, I thought, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to have everything ready to release a single by the end of January. So I said, well, we're going to have to wait a year if I want to do this properly, right? So, because I wanted to release them all in the same year so that they could qualify as an album together. Mm-hmm. Just releasing them one single at a time seems to make more sense now, just to appease the algorithm, Spotify gods, or, you know. So I've been my way of getting around that is I have a playlist I created called Silhouettes that's going to serve as the album. And as I release the songs, I'm just going to add them to that playlist and put them in the correct track listing order. So mm-hmm. that if you know, people want to listen to the full album in its entirety, I have a playlist of all 11 of them in order.
Right. I've made this comment before in other interviews and had chats with other people about Spotify. It's a necessary evil now. Evil. It's all how you look at it. With me, I think the people should be supporting the artist in regards to buying the album, buying the music, that sort of thing. But in order to get your stuff heard, sometimes you can't get it through the older traditional means of radio, that sort of thing. And if you don't have a budget for a video, and then who's playing videos anyway? So a lot of us are very digital, internet over the last 10 years. These platforms come out. But with Spotify, you're up against so many other artists to catch their attention. How do you plan to get people to listen to your music up against all those other people on Spotify?
That's an excellent question. one that I do have an answer to.
Great.
I know, right? So I decided after, you know, the first two times doing everything basically DIY, do everything yourself, which seems to be the indie artist trend now. I decided this time around, I'm like, you know what? Let's outsource things that I don't want to do or just don't have the time for. So the one was creative and like social media ads, because initially I wanted to do like music videos for these songs and everything like that. But then after talking to some people much smarter than myself, they kind of pointed out all these things that music videos are kind of going, you know, getting phased out now, where it's like people aren't really watching them anymore. So it's kind of like they're expensive and you spend a lot of time on them, and then you'd be better off doing little Instagram ads almost to try to, like, you know, like a little 15 second Instagram story mm-hmm. ads to try to pull people in, swipe up and listen. So I'm working with a creative agency in Toronto called Good Kids. Great people, Steve and his team. So they did the little promo video for they're going to do one for each of the songs moving right. forward. And the way they're doing it is they're collaborating with different artists on each one. So this first one, they collaborated with a Toronto artist named Emily May Rose. And she has a bunch of murals, famous murals up all over Toronto. She does this little series of like raccoon characters, like getting into trouble and everything like
sure,
that.
So yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So she did the little bunny animation thing for the promo video for Wish We Were. Right. So, so we're just kind of, you know, put those out just to make our ads more interesting. Like, hopefully, you know, that helps. I've been messing around with audience and metrics right now. It's tough though, because, you know, I did my research and my homework and hired professionals. I'm trying everything, and it's just, it's hard to get people to, like, it's hard to get people to stream the song. It's almost impossible to get them to pay for it right now. Like, right. Try to send people to Bandcamp, right? It's they look at you like, what's that?
Is that the kind of reaction you get with Bandcamp?
Yeah. I have not had a positive experience with it. I've tried to push the Bandcamp page a bunch of times. Like, I think we've got really nice looking merch. Yeah. The page looks great. This new single is easily the best thing that we've ever done.
Right.
And no one seems to care. You know, it's just like, I'm like, yeah, I'd like you to care, but it's like, oh, wait, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm trying.
What about the other platforms in regards to pushing your music, like Deezer, Tidal? Those are just off the top of my head.
You know what's interesting? From what I understand, Deezer has a really, really big following in France, because I guess they're a French company. Like, mm-hmm. I guess Deezer was based out of there. So apparently they're massive in France. So that's one thing I'm definitely looking into, is if I'm gonna pitch to France, I want to pitch at Deezer, or, you know, pitch Deezer to them, like, oh, swipe up and listen to it on Deezer, because it seems right. like that's where it's at over there. So that's an interesting thing about them. And then the other thing, Tidal, I don't know what it is, but I've just been seeing, just based on like the landing page, right? And it shows you like your clicks that you get on each platform, because, you know, you send people to page, listen to it wherever you listen to. Tidal. Is, you know, I mean, like, it's way down the list, right? Like, Spotify is obviously number one. Like, most people are clicking on the Spotify link. Yeah. But Tidal is second. It's like Apple Music is a close third. But like, Tidal is even above Apple Music on my clicks on my landing page, on where people are listening to it. So, like, apparently Tidal's gained some popularity. I know a bunch of people jumped ship from Spotify to Tidal after all the Joe Rogan mishap, right?
And it was, sure, like, yeah.
pulling his music and Joni Mitchell pulling her music, and people are looking for alternatives. And apparently, I believe Tidal pays the highest royalty rates. They're all garbage, but apparently Tidal's is the highest. So I think people are starting to all shift to Tidal, which I think is kind of interesting.
I guess it stands to reason once you're allowed to play again, then you can start selling some merch, get a little more active, that sort of thing. Have you been in contact with any of the local promoters here in Hamilton or any shows coming up next couple months? Because, you know, don't want to jinx it, but got to say it, numbers are going down. Right. You know, people are getting boosted and first time vaxxers, second time vaxxers. People are getting a little bit tired of the lockdowns over 2 years. They want to start stretching their legs. They want to start enjoying their lives moving forward. You seem to be wanting to moving forward now, aside from not getting a haircut and a beard trim, as your nana would say. But I mean, what are the timelines looking for you to go out and do some shows again?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. You know what? I actually am planning. It's funny you say that. I was planning on doing this all week because I wanted to release the song first, right, and try to kind of push it out a bit and, you know, waiting for some responses now. And thank you very much for playing it on the show. I appreciate that. But I was going to reach out to a bunch of them tonight, actually. I was planning on doing it this week because we're looking at, sometime in March. I think, did they say March is around the time, March, April, they're allowing it again?
Yeah. Well, some of the local venues are starting to open up now. Casbah has been advertising here in Hamilton, Ontario. The Casbah has been going, hey, we're having DJ nights. Our lounge is opening. There are some shows coming up in March and April, I believe, for the main room. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely going to give Brody a shout. And then Jim at the Corktown as well. Because this is the thing with the, now that we're a duo, it's kind of, you know, it's not the full band thing anymore. So it's a little bit different. So even though I love the Absinthe, I don't know if we'd be good right now for, you know what I mean? Like, or at least a headline for it. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, it always just seems more like a rock and roll club, you know, like whenever I played like with the rock band, it just felt really good there. Right. And like, I would love to do it as a duo again, but I just think maybe we'll start like somewhere, you know, kind of like smaller, like maybe the Casbah Lounge for like the first one back.
Sure.
Just because obviously it's our first show in a long time, right?
So it's not, but you're not, but you're just going to keep it as a duo for now. No band.
For now, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Why not the band thing?
We've talked to some people, and Sean's got some buddies as well that have kind of shown some interest. But again, it's the thing where, you know, people are really nice and they mean really well. And it's like, let's actually get together and do it. And, you know, everyone's busy. So for now, we're doing the duo thing, and it's working really well. Like, I think we got like the one acoustic, one electric kind of sound works. That's like our main lineup right there. It works really well. We've been really liking it. Hey, this is Jordan from Burn the Louvre. You're listening to Gunner on Steel City Music. And you can listen to Wish We Were, our new single, on Spotify, Apple Music, buy it on Bandcamp, anywhere you listen. It's available everywhere now.
Open up my eyes. I'm awake before the crows start singing. Unsatisfied, too much on my mind. And I can't stop thinking of my love. What she doing and how she feeling. I wanna call her up, but she's working late and I'm out all night gigging. But I know that if I wait until the morning, I'll have to go and leave her all alone inside town. If only I could have some time that I could borrow. Well, I would see her every yesterday and most tomorrows. Cause sometimes I wish that we were younger, 17 in the early summer. I scream, I'll go visit your mother, if only sometimes. And I'll apologize for the stupid shit I say when I've been drinking. Bunch of stupid lies that I tell myself when my ship's sinking. You know that you're the only one of who I'm ever thinking of. A girl's pretty sweet, no, so witty. Wish that we were younger.
17 in the early summer, just trying to kill time. Yeah, sometimes I'm so glad that we're not younger. You turn 19 by the end of the summer, it's good luck and goodbye. Yeah, sometimes aren't you glad that we're not younger? 24 in the middle of summer, nothing but blue skies. And late nights in her arms underneath the covers, she gets on my nerves, but you know that I love her. If only sometimes. Yeah, but only sometimes.
You're listening to Indy 101.5 CIOI.
Steel City Music.
Diane holds my hand when I'm screaming out like a child who didn't get her way. And I swear if you follow stay, you can see what you see. Chaser like a ball on a string. I don't have much to give, but what's mine